What's going on, everybody? You're listening to episode 16 of M&M Sports Talk Podcast. From Mark Morales, I'm Nick Rivera. What's going on, Mark?
Nothing much. How are you today, Nick?
I'm living great. I'm living large and in charge. Unfortunately, got to go to work tonight, so I'm just thinking about the now.
Yeah, I feel you with that. I got work tonight, too. Got to make money, right? Got
to chase the bag, as retire. People say. I already want to retire.
Yeah, we both have... What, like 20, 30 more years to go before we can
20, 30? I got like 40.
Yeah, probably even more then.
Well, that really hurt me, yo.
Yeah. We just got to chase the bag. But what do you want to talk about today, Nick? A little NFL stuff?
Let's talk about the NFL. All right. The National Football League. XFL just dropped. The New York Guardians.
How are we doing? They released, I think, all 8 of their team names and logos today.
Well, I only saw the New York. I'm about to look up the other ones.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I mean, they look like the logos look like they were made on like Photoshop or something. Like they kind of look not like super official, like professional teams. Since they're a startup and whatnot, you get what you pay for, right?
It's a startup. Wow, that really hurt me. Let's see. We got the Dallas Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, the Los Angeles Wildcats, the St. Louis Battlehawks, Seattle Dragons, Tampa Bay Vipers, and the Washington Defenders. I don't know. I kind of like I'm looking at all the logos. They kind of all go together, though.
Yeah, they kind of have this modern look, right?
Yeah. They were definitely going for a certain theme. Same thing with the names. They all kind of fit together.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I think it starts in, what, February?
I believe so. Yep, February 2020.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll watch a few games just to see kind of look for what the biggest difference between that and the NFL would be. But it's the interesting thing is if it's going to last. You know, everyone thought the Alliance of American Football was going to be like that next league that people gravitate to when the NFL isn't on. But obviously that didn't really work out. They didn't even finish the season. They went bankrupt, I think, by week 9, I think.
Yeah, man. Well, so what you're saying is you're not buying an XFL jersey?
No, I won't be buying any XFL jerseys. I'll watch the games, though, and peep it a little bit. Yeah, I will not be spending any of my own money on any XFL memorabilia.
Wow.
But let's jump into this NFL talk. You know, there's a lot of things going on, especially in the NFL world as of late. You know, you have the Antonio Brown helmet drama. You know, as of a couple of days ago, you had the OBJ and Baker Mayfield comments towards Daniel Jones and the Giants. You have the Cowboys going through what they're going through in regards to their contract situations with their big three. And then you have Melvin Gordon, who, you know, wants a new deal and might take the Le'Veon Bell route. So there's plenty of things to talk about today. So I'm ready to jump right into it if you are, Nick.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
So let's do it. And right before we jump into it, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. You know, you can catch any updates and any info regarding our show. And also, our stickers finally came into the mail a couple days ago. So keep an eye out for any stickers. If you happen to see a sticker, take a picture of it, DM us on either Twitter or Instagram, and we'll repost it onto our social media. So let's jump into this NFL stuff. So let's start with Antonio Brown. So, you know, Antonio Brown was traded to the Oakland Raiders this offseason from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, there was so much drama between him and Pittsburgh. You remember that? Didn't he go on, like, Facebook or Instagram Live during an important, like, pep talk or an important meeting?
Yeah, like, right after Facebook a game? Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so there was a lot of drama within their organization with him. I mean, that was just one example of something that he has done with the Steelers organization. So they shipped him out. And I believe we went over this in our last podcast, but I remember us briefly talking about it. And like, the Steelers didn't really get much in return for Antonio Brown. But, you know, people were thinking like, oh, well, this might be great for the Raiders. He's a great player and whatnot. But, I mean, as of late, Nick, this has been an utter disaster for the Oakland Raiders.
It fits the Raiders mantra, though, of disaster and dysfunction. I kind of like it. It kind of fits their history and what they're known for.
and you know, this whole AB Raiders situation was just has been bad from the get-go. And it probably doesn't help either that the Hard Knocks focused around the Oakland Raiders this year, especially in their first season with Antonio Brown. So we know that they traded for Antonio Brown. We know they made him one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL, especially when it comes to guaranteed money after the trade. And then he shows up to training camp, the first day of training camp, in a hot air balloon.
Legendary.
Like, you know, most people take their cars to training camp. Juju Smith-Schuster rode his bike to training camp a few years back. But no, Antonio Brown, the first thing he decides to do with his new contract is fly a hot air balloon to training camp. So whatever. You know, that was cool. Maybe he did it because of Hard Knocks. All right, whatever. But then all of a sudden, he's, like, not showing up at practice. People don't know where he is, and there's rumors that he's hurt or whatnot. And then it comes out a few days after that apparently in France, he went into a cryogenic chamber without the proper footwear and ended up freezing his feet to the point where he had severe frostbite on both his feet, and he couldn't practice. He couldn't play for, like, a month.
He is my hero, son. Antonio Brown never ceases to amaze me.
I know. And then he posted a picture on his, I think it was on his Instagram, of his feet, and his feet looked disgusting. His skin was peeling. His skin looked like blue in some spots.
I know. It kind of looked like yours. You look like you after getting out the shower.
Yeah. When you've been in there too long, right?
Yeah, man.
But, you know, the thing that blows my mind, especially when it comes to the frostbite issue, is that Antonio Brown has been in the NFL for 9 years. This technology of this cryogenic chamber has been in the NFL for many years. So he has done this multiple times. So what was going through his head when he wasn't wearing the proper footwear? Was he like, I guess I don't have to wear shoes. It's not like the temperatures get negative 200 degrees in here. Like, I just don't get what was going through his mind when he decided to step into that chamber that he has done multiple times without footwear.
He was like, these socks are pretty good. I'm gonna rock these.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. And that wasn't even to the extent of the drama. So a few days after, apparently the helmet that he has been wearing is no longer certified by this agency or this company that certifies the NFL's equipment. He made it such a big deal that he wasn't showing up to practice. He filed a grievance against the NFL to try to get them to let him use his original helmet. And when you know, the teammates and not his teammates, like the team officials were telling him, you gotta wear the new helmet. He went so far to even painting his old helmet in the Raiders colors to try to sneak his helmet onto the field. It didn't work. But like this guy is such a drama queen and is such a diva. It's just insane that he's letting a helmet get in the way of him playing.
Legendary, man. I'm just saying, once the games actually start and it's no longer preseason and camp, I guarantee you this helmet issue won't be a problem anymore.
Oh, absolutely. And remember when he even threatened to retire from the NFL if the first time he filed a grievance, if they didn't let him wear it?
Yeah, okay.
And then guess what happened? They said, no, you have to wear the new helmet. You can't wear your old helmet. And all of a sudden, he's playing football again. And, you know, as a few days ago, he left practice on Sunday, I believe. He left training camp Sunday morning, this past Sunday. And the GM of the Raiders came out, spoke to reporters, and said, yeah, Antonio Brown is upset about the helmet issue. And he went on to say something like, we have X amount of people busting their tails day in and day out, and it's time for Antonio Brown to either be all in or all out.
Ooh, scary.
And then what does Antonio Brown do a few days after those comments were made? He files another grievance to the NFL about the helmet.
Yeah, this guy's hilarious. Yeah,
he really is. He's a clown. He's like, he's running a circus. He's making the Raiders look like a clown show. He really is.
I mean, they kind of already were before he got there, but with John Gruden and the Raiders.
But, you know, part of me wants to think that, like, he's going so far with the helmet issue, especially, you know, especially with the hot air balloon, the foot thing, now the helmet thing. Part of me wants to believe that he's really doing all this because they're on Hard Knocks and he has all the cameras on him and he loves the attention. But another part of me is just like, this is just another example of another a diva wide receiver who wanted his money, got his money, and continued to act like a baby.
Yeah, man, it's a combination of all the above. It's Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown, not caring about anyone but himself, as usual. Him getting the money that I guess he should have gotten, but that's nonetheless. Three being on a Hard Knocks and four being on the Raiders, the dysfunction. He knows he could get away with things because of his history of achievement and then not having it. He's already the best player on their team and the most accomplished. I feel like he could just get away with anything, and he is getting away with everything because they're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens once the season like starts, because he's had pretty much no time to develop any type of timing, develop any type of chemistry with Derek Carr. And, like, you know, Derek Carr is not Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Derek Carr isn't proven the way Ben Roethlisberger is proven. And, you know, the Raiders have to go into this season thinking that, like, you know, we are giving Derek Carr the best option to be great now, like, with the acquisition of Antonio Brown. You know, they're going to start having to make decisions whether or not they think Derek Carr can be the quarterback of the future. And I think, you know, this is really going to play a big part in that. If Derek Carr struggles this season, especially with Antonio Brown, and they're never able to develop any type of chemistry, if they're never able to develop any type of timing, you know, Antonio Brown is going to be the one that gets blamed for that, for the stunted development of Derek Carr. And that's going to be a big problem for the Raiders if that is the case.
Yeah, I think when it's such a I don't know. It's like I think it's best that he's here now as compared to next year. Like, I think that let him get all his drama out of the way. Let him be accustomed to the Raiders and the Raiders be accustomed to him. And then I think their thinking is once they hit Vegas, they'll have everything under control. Their team will be a lot better and they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I totally forgot that they're moving to Vegas too. What is that, next year?
Yep, 2020.
Wow.
The Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, that sounds so gross.
And what's to say that the move to Las Vegas isn't going to make Antonio Brown even more diva-ish, make him more of a baby, make him more of a clown, because now he's in Las Vegas. So
he's in Vegas surrounded by sand and desert.
All I'm saying is that as a Jets fan, I'm glad we got the better of the two Steeler players that were available. That's just me.
Ew. The Jets. I can't believe you brought that up. That gives me the heebie-jeebies whenever you mention that to me.
But since we're on the topic, of diva wide receivers, let's talk about your old favorite player, the new Cleveland Browns superstar, Odell Beckham Jr.
Ah, OBJ, classic. As usual, what's he in the news for again, Mark? Let him know.
Talking about the Giants.
Living rent-free in that head.
And, you know, this came out of, like, literally, like, yesterday, I'm pretty sure. For those of you who might not have heard, Odell Beckham Jr., I don't know who asked him. I don't know what type of interview
Nobody
this
asked
was.
Him. But, Nobody asked him.
But, oh, it was he told Ben Baskin of Sports Illustrated. So I guess it was an interview. OBJ said, in regards to the Giants trading him to Cleveland, quote, "This wasn't no business move. This was personal. They thought they'd send me here to die," end quote. So,
like, I don't know what he's on, man.
What are your thoughts, man? You're the Giants fan. I want to know your reaction when you heard this news. The first thing that popped in your head.
The first thing I heard was like, oh my God, dude, like, give it a rest. Stop being so butthurt. He needs butthurt cream, son. Ever since he's been gone, every, like, week or two, he puts something on Instagram or puts a statement out that talks about how, oh, they sent me here to die. Well, I'm not gonna die. Like, bro, what are you talking? This was personal. What are you talking about? They got Jabril Peppers, a guy to replace Landon Collins at safety. They sent me here to die. They sent you to a team who had the best rookie quarterback performance last year. He's emerging. Everyone thinks he's going to do great. You got your best friend in Jarvis. You have a solid O-line and a pretty decent defense. They sent me here to die. Like, bro, You were on one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. You're already by default on a better team, and you're still whining and moaning.
I know, and I feel like he's said multiple times he's talked about the Giants, right? Like, it's every few weeks he's been mentioning the Giants in one way or another.
He's salty that there's nothing to do in Cleveland. He's like, damn, I miss New York, man. But look at him now, being a bozo. I can't wait till him and his number one thing was winning. We'll see how much winning he does this season.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. The fact that that OBJ came out and said, oh, like, they sent me here to die, that's complete and utter, like, BS. Like, you're 100% right. The Giants were one of the worst, maybe the worst team last year in the NFL.
Wow, that was a little aggressive.
And they sent him to a team that, you know, they're not the Browns of old. They're not the 0-16 Browns. This is a Browns team that, like you said, they're up and coming. Baker Mayfield's a potential superstar in the making. Like you said, he's playing on a team. He's playing on a team with his best friend in Jarvis Landry. Weren't they college teammates at UCLA?
Yeah, LSU, yeah.
LSU, yeah. So they're college teammates, buddies, and he's on a team with them. They have Myles Garrett on the defensive line, who's a monster. So they're a really good, decent team. I'm not going to say that they're, like, you know, Super Bowl contenders, but they have a really good chance to make the playoffs and make some noise next year, and he's still just constantly talking and talking about the Giants as if they're like his ex-girlfriend that he just can't get over. And that's really what it seems like.
I told you, man. The Giants are his first love. Once you're a Giant, you're always a Giant. But not Odell, though. He could go kick rocks.
And, like, this is just another case, another example of a wide receiver that is so talented, but yet is so diva-ish. And I'm not going to say OBJ is a clown like AB is, but they both have something in common. They both love attention. They love when they're in the headlines. And they love being divas.
I heard they wear the same size shoe, too. Clown shoes.
That's a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah. And, you know, OBJ is not the only Cleveland Brown that has been making noise lately, trash-talking the New York Giants. Baker Mayfield also said some sus things the other day in an interview with GQ. Now, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, like, I can't believe the Giants picked Daniel Jones sixth overall, and he said something like, it blows my mind. Now, he's come out and said some things on social media. I think he commented on Barstool Sports page or one of their posts that talked about what he said in the GQ interview. And he came out and said something like, you know, the media pushes narratives, something along the lines of, like, that's not what I meant, or, like, they're taking it way too far and it blew up way too much. But he apparently reached out to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield apparently reached out to Daniel Jones in regard to these comments. And apparently, you know, they cooled it off. I guess I'm not going to say that they're friends, but, you know, they I guess Baker Mayfield cleared the air is what I'm trying to say to Daniel Jones. But I'm curious.
Soft.
I'm curious to know what your thoughts were on the initial comments that were made by Baker Mayfield, how it blows his mind that they drafted him sixth overall.
Well, it blows my mind is how this guy's ego is so inflated, but he went 1-5 against playoff teams. That's what blows my mind.
Good
but
point.
Anyways, it's so soft how he makes all these comments and then walks it back on social media after he gets attention. Like, he was just going to let it rock if no one cared, but the fact that everyone's like, oh, okay. That's very bold. Then he's like, oh, that's not what I meant. Like, yeah, just own it, bro. Like, what are you doing here? Everyone knows that's what you meant, because if you're going to talk about Daniel Jones, everyone's hating on him. Everyone but me. Daniel Jones is the truth. That's Danny Dimes. I got my jersey in the mail. Anyways, Baker Mayfield, I don't know, man. I hope he does well, but he's doing a lot of talk for a guy that had a losing season. And went, like I said, 1-5 against playoff teams.
Yeah.
Trash.
Now, you bring up a lot of good points. And Daniel Jones has come out and said, in regards to the comments, quote, I try not to listen to much that's said. I think I've done a pretty good job of that. I heard that before. I kind of have the same mindset. I certainly have a lot to focus on here. I have a lot to worry about here, and I'm focused on that. It's been good, but just focus on what I'm doing here. So, I mean, Daniel Jones has said all the right things.
That's my quarterback.
Especially when it comes to criticism against him. But, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, Baker Mayfield, I feel like he's kind of being a little too cocky. You know, last year I liked when he was like, oh, I woke up feeling a little bit dangerous today. Like, I like that. You know, you don't have to be the quiet, mute quarterback. You could be loud. You could be out there. You could say outlandish things every now and then. But when you haven't done anything, and I didn't even know that he was 1-5 against playoff teams. So that just like blows my mind, using his words, that he's talking all this talk, and yet he only really found success against non-playoff teams last year.
Yeah, it's pretty beans if you ask me.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. He threw for 27 touchdowns last year. He didn't even start the season as the starting quarterback. He came in against the Jets that one game last year. So that was his debut of last season. But, like, you know, like, I really wish the Giants and the Browns were playing each other this year. Unfortunately, it's the Jets that are playing the Browns this year, not the Giants. But I think the Browns just have to shut up and just focus on themselves. You know, they have to just shut their mouths when it comes to talking about other teams in that aspect, especially the Giants. You know, they have a lot to worry about, the Browns. They have to make sure they get – you know, they're timing down with the new wide receiver and OBJ. They have to figure out how they're going to share the ball between OBJ, Jarvis Landry, and Kareem Hunt. You know, I have nothing against athletes speaking their minds, especially when it comes to, like, social issues and stuff like that, other things going on in the sport. But when you're just blatantly just disrespecting other players who haven't even been in the league yet, when you yourself aren't that great either, like, prove yourself first and then you could talk. That's just me.
Everyone likes to do their talk first, but we'll see what happens this year. I better see no excuses, no pouting, no moaning, no whining midway through and at the end of the season. I want to see results. Steelers don't got Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Ravens are there still. The Bengals are beans. So you have a chance to win the division, make the playoffs. And yeah. I better hear no more talk. I want to see results. But guess what? I have a bold prediction that they're not making the playoffs, and there's going to be a lot of moaning, complaining, and pointing fingers come February and March.
Hey, I was about to ask you, how do you think the Browns are going to fare this season?
I think they're going to do pretty much similar to last year. I think they got a lot going on. They're going to do a lot of flashy things, and there's going to be a lot of not very good teams. So when it comes to better teams, I think they're going to lose. And I think they're going to probably go 8-8. Maybe 9-7, because they have a lot to prove. I mean, yeah, it looks good on Madden, but when you put stuff together, sometimes it doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to see results.
Yeah. For me, you know, I think the Browns, I think they're going to start off hot, but I think over time, I think they're going to slow down. I do agree with you that it's going to be hard for them to go from what they have been to making the playoffs. You know, they've been the laughingstock of the NFL for so long. But I could see like a 9-7, like an 8-8 type of year for them. But I do see them starting off hot and then slowly but surely cooling off. And then, like you said, the pointing of the fingers, the moaning, the complaining. I can so see that with the type of attitudes that they have on that team. We'll see how the Browns fare and how their season turns out in this 2019 campaign. But let's move on now. You know, let's talk about some of the money situations in the NFL now. You know, we have
money.
Yeah, more money, more problems. So we have the Cowboys. We'll start with them, and then we'll get into Melvin Gordon a little bit later. But the Cowboys, they have three really top tier players that need to be paid, that want to be paid. So, you know, that's Ezekiel Elliott, the running back, Dak Prescott, the QB, and Amari Cooper, their wide receiver. That's their big three. And each of those players are arguably top 10, top 15 players in their respective positions. And, you know, they each want to be paid. They each want to have one of the highest paid contracts for their respective position. And apparently the Cowboys offered them each a contract that would make them top five at their position, and Dak Prescott apparently turned it down. He's looking for like $40 million a year when he turned down like a reported $30 million per year contract. They obviously all need to get paid. All three of them want to get paid. Now, my question to you, Nick, is who do you pay first, and in what order do you pay them, and do you give them a lot of guaranteed max money?
I pay them What were you going
to
say?
No, I was going to say the Cowboys just gave out a max deal to their linebacker, Jalen. I think his name is Jalen Smith, last night. And they made him one of the highest paid linebackers, like what I think is like top five in the league or something like that. So they already have given out a max deal. And he was the first one to get the max money. So now with the remaining three, who gets paid first? Do they get max money? And in what order do you pay them?
You pay them in the order that they're due. That's my logic. If the guy, like Zeke, he's not due for a contract for 3 years. And if you pay him, yeah, I understand he wants to get paid now because injury. But if you do pay him now, like, then that's just bad business on the sake of the owners. Like, if who's due right now, I believe it'd have to be Dak.
It's Dak and Cooper.
I mean, I wouldn't pay him $40 million a year. But, I mean, that's what the market says. And if you're that thirsty for a quarterback, I mean, go ahead and do it. You're going to lock up a lot of money in a person I think isn't your franchise quarterback. But, you know, everyone swears by it. They have to have a quarterback. But, I mean, is it worth paying a guy that's not worth even $30 million a year, $40 million a year? I don't know. But I think the guy most deserving the money is Zeke because their offense runs through him. But at the same time, as we start getting – closer and closer to the end of his rookie contract, his value is going to go down because they go to him so much. Amari Cooper, I mean, yeah, he's a great wide receiver, but I don't know about top five in his position. I don't even think he's arguably top five. I don't even think he's arguably top 10. But, I mean, that's your best receiver as of right now, and it doesn't seem like any other big-time free agent receivers are going to go on the market anytime soon. So I guess you kind of have to balance it out. I mean, obviously, I think their best player is Zeke. He's the one that should get the money. But I think Cooper and Dak are going to get the money first. But that, I think that's just the Cowboys thinking. But I don't know. I think they don't want to pay Zeke right away. But Zeke will bully them into paying. Like, he's going to threaten to sit out. Like, all right, go ahead, sit out. You can sit out. You're going to have to sit out for 3 years. But I think that Jerry Jones is very impatient and he wants to win a championship now because he's like already like 133. So he wants to get that championship now. So I think they're all going to pay him relatively soon.
Yeah. For me, like Zeke, he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2021. So he's under contract for all of this year and all of next year too. And like you were saying, Dak and Cooper are each unrestricted free agents after this year. So this is the final year of their deals. And no, I don't really – I get it, and I don't really get why Zeke's sitting out. I mean, you know, there is – he was rumored to be sitting out all of training camp, which he has done, and then also he might even sit out during the regular season. And apparently, if he were to do that, he would actually be losing money. And that's not something that Le'Veon Bell exactly was doing, because I'm pretty sure Le'Veon Bell was in the final year of his contract. So money-wise, like, there weren't any penalties or fines that he would have had to pay. But – I don't know the specifics, but for Zeke, I heard something that like he would have to think he would either get fined or lose money because he's under contract still for another couple years. But I agree with you. I think Zeke is their best player between the three of them. But where I disagree with is that he has to get paid right now. I know he wants to get paid, and I think this is a really, really big problem in the NFL. You know, every league has their issues. You know, Major League Baseball, you have the netting issue, the juiced ball issue. In the NBA, you have these players that just decide they don't want to play it here anymore and force their way out like Anthony Davis did. And in the NFL, you have these players that like Le'Veon Bell, like Ezekiel Elliott, like Melvin Gordon, who decide, you know what, I want to get paid and I want to get paid now, even though I'm not due to get paid and I'm currently under contract that I signed for another couple of years or for the rest of this year. I'm going to decide I'm not going to play until you give me a contract that I want. And I think that's a major problem that's going to have to be fixed. And it seems like the NHL is the only league that doesn't have these type of issues. But for Ezekiel Elliott, I think he absolutely deserves to be paid, but I don't think he deserves to be paid right now. And I get the whole injury issue. And, you know, maybe this is the NFL's original fault. Maybe it's their own fault, the reason why these players are doing this. Because if the NFL, like, required guaranteed contracts, this probably wouldn't be an issue. If Zeke signed a contract that was fully guaranteed when he was a rookie that paid him, I don't know, let's just say he gets $20 million over a course of of 4 years that he's under contract, or 5 years, or whatever, however long it is. Say he's guaranteed the entirety of the contract. Maybe he's not going to worry about, oh my God, if I tear my ACL this year, if my Achilles goes this year, they could just cut me and I will make no money. Maybe if they guaranteed these contracts from the get-go, that wouldn't be an issue. That wouldn't be a thought in their mind, because the reason why Le'Veon Bell sat out, the reason why Zeke is choosing to sit out, and the reason why Gordon is also choosing to sit out is because they don't want to risk getting injured and losing out on the big-time money. It's also, like, I get that, but it's also not right, especially in Zeke's mind, the fact that he's under contract for another 2 full seasons, and he's pulling this now. Like, when is it going to end? Are players going to start sitting out after year one of their rookie deal because they played so well? Should Saquon Barkley tell the Giants right now, hey, Giants, I want to be the highest paid receiver and highest paid running back in NFL history. I want to be the highest paid player in NFL history. I proved I'm one of the best players in the NFL last year. I have nothing else to prove. I want to get paid right now. Otherwise, I'm not playing anymore. Should Barkley do that now? Like, it just,
he shouldn't, but that's the trend we're going towards.
I know, and it's absurd. But, you know, like, again, like, I kind of get it. These players want to get paid, and they don't want to risk injury. But at the same time, you guys signed a contract. Honor the contract. Because it just looks
that's
bad.
That's my thinking, too. People get all mad about the contract that they signed. Like, it kind of boggles my mind, but that's why I'm not a professional athlete, I guess.
Yeah, but going back to the three Cowboys guys, so I think, like I said, Zeke is by far the best player out of the three. I think he should be paid, but not right now. Dak, you know, I agree with you. He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He doesn't even deserve $30 million, let alone $40 million a year. And just some stats for you, Dak was 15th in the NFL last year out of all the quarterbacks with 3,885 yards and 16th with 22 touchdowns. And, you know, like, when Zeke has been either suspended or you know, not playing, another thing with Zeke, too, is that, like, he doesn't help himself. He's the best player on the field, but he can't stay out of trouble. So why am I going to invest so much money into a guy that could potentially cost me games and cost me playoff runs because he's too busy catching headlines for everything other than football?
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, because
the dudes that want to be paid the highest always are causing the most issues.
Exactly. And when he was suspended for 6 games a few years back, didn't Dak Prescott struggle heavily?
Very.
So how do you want to be paid $30 to $40 million per year when you can't even run the team by yourself without Ezekiel Elliott, without a running back?
It's crazy. And he's actually going to get this money.
I know.
That's the crazy part.
He is going to get the money. But does he deserve it?
Not at all.
And I agree with you. You know, last season, you know, he started all 16 games. There were 10-6. In 3 years, Dak Prescott is 32-16-0. They went 13-3 in his first year with Zeke, I'm pretty sure, for the entire year. And then in 2017, when Zeke was out for the 6 games, they went 9-7. So, I don't know, man. It blows my mind. Like, just like what we've been talking about, like with Zeke and Dak and everything. And then Amari Cooper. Like, yeah, he should get paid. He's an above average wide receiver in the league, but he's not one of the best. He was 21st in the NFL last year with receiving only 1,005 yards and only scoring 7 touchdowns.
Beans.
So, I mean, in the order that I think that they should get paid, probably Zeke by far is the best player, so he should get the money and be the first. And if you're Jerry Jones and you have to pay all three of these guys this offseason, I guess you have to go Zeke first, then Dak, then Cooper. And for Dak, like, I'm not giving him $30 to $40 million a year. He's going to get it, though. I know, like we said, he's going to get it. But eventually, you know, these salaries have to stop jumping up. At what point do professional owners look at them and look at themselves and say, we got to stop with these high contracts? Look at the NBA just going up. Look at the MLB. It continues to go up. Especially in the NFL. Like, at some point, the money has to stop increasing.
They won't, though, because it would make sense. All the owners have to do is say, all right, let's agree to this, the price range for this kind of player, this. But they won't do that. They're just going to continually let it rise until backup punters are making $100 million a year. Then they're like, wait a minute. Things aren't right here. Let's try to change this after it's too late and after everyone already got paid and you already set the precedent.
Yeah. But now let's talk a little Melvin Gordon. So Melvin Gordon is kind of in the same boat as Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he wants to get paid. He wants to get paid a lot of guaranteed money. And the only difference is that, well, there's two differences. A, he's not nearly as good as Ezekiel Elliott. And B, Melvin Gordon is an unrestricted free agent after this 2019 season. Now, for Gordon, last season he was 17th in running backs when it comes to yards, total yards, with 885, and 6th in touchdowns with 10. Now, Melvin Gordon is not even a top 5 running back in the NFL right now, in my opinion. You know, you have, I think Le'Veon Bell is better, Zeke is better, Barkley's better, Alvin Kamara is better, Christian McCaffrey is better. So there are plenty of other running backs that are by far better than Melvin Gordon, in my opinion. Now, he has come out and said, I think this was even as of today, Ian Rapoport of NFL.com, I think he tweeted, yes, here we go, an hour ago. This is from Ian Rapoport on Twitter, quote, "At this point, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon's holdout is expected to continue into the season, sources say. Contract talks have not progressed as he had hoped, and he'll continue to train in Florida for the foreseeable future."
I don't know, man. I don't understand. See, we've gotten to the point where non-top-tier players are doing this.
I know.
like, can we calm it down just a little
bit? And this goes back to the point that I made earlier, that the NFL has a major, major problem that they have to fix. And maybe the only way to fix it is to guarantee contracts moving forward.
That's probably what they're going to have to do.
They're going to have to. How else are you going to stop these players from just deciding, you know what, I don't want to play until I get paid, and I'm going to sit out and not play until that happens? Like, how else do you stop that?
There is no really other option. It's time. Time to pull out the guaranteed bandwagon.
Yeah, and the only issue that the owners might have with that is that they would probably have to pay so much more money in insurance-wise. Right?
Yeah, they will.
So, I mean, it's... This is a problem that the NFL has to fix, and the only way to fix it might have to be to guarantee all the contracts. That's the only way that the NFL is going to stop being looked at as like this laughingstock of a league where players could just choose not to play because they want to get paid a certain amount, they want to get guaranteed money. But you know, we'll see what happens. You know, like this NFL season is going to be very interesting. There's a lot of different things that could happen. The NFL, I think, is very open this year. I think there's a lot of teams that can compete. And if you're someone like Philip Rivers, who's on the tail end of your career, you know, you want to have the best team out there. And Melvin Gordon on the field gives you the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And without him, it's just going to make it that much more difficult. So we'll see. There's a lot of different things that could happen. You know, is Zeke going to sit out? And if that's the case, you know, the Cowboys, that division now becomes wide open. I mean, the Eagles are still going to be there, but – you know, the Eagles' success really just depends on the health of Carson Wentz. So I look at that division as pretty much wide open, especially if Zeke chooses that he just doesn't want to play, even though he's under contract for another 2 full seasons.
With Danny Dimes there, you're bugging.
But
that division is closed shut.
We'll see.
They're Giants, Super Bowl contenders.
But we'll see, man. This is going to be interesting. And apparently, as about 45 minutes ago, the Jets linebacker Brandon Copeland was suspended or is going to be suspended for the first 4 games of this season for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances.
Piss.
This is from Ian Rapoport on Twitter. And, no, this is just another major blow to the Jets' defense. They just lost Avery Williamson over the weekend with a torn ACL because Adam Gase decided to keep him in there deep into a week 2 of preseason. And now they just lost linebacker Brandon Copeland for the first 4 games of the season. So not starting off too hot for this New York Jets team. But the offense will still be there as long as everyone can stay healthy. Sam Darnold has a great in preseason so far. So I'm still excited for this Jets season. Like I said, I think the NFL is very wide open this year. Very wide open.
I'm excited to see your sociopath of a head coach under stress. After seeing him in a, it looked like he was on methamphetamine during his introductory press conference with his eyeballs all over the place. Then I see this dude sniffing smelling salts before a preseason game. I'm like, yo, this dude is a psycho. I can't wait to see him actually coaching under a real game situation. Oh, that's going to be jokes.
Maybe he's just going to bring that intensity then. He'll just have all that intensity and it'll just make everyone want to play just 10 times harder.
I don't know, man. Smelling seltzering before a preseason game might be a little too much.
Just he was getting hyped.
You can have all that hype. I'm good.
Well, let's see, man. We'll see what happens this NFL season. We'll see what happens with the Browns. See if they, you know, are going to be able to turn the ship around. We'll see what happens with Antonio Brown, if he's actually going to play or if he's going to have frostbite on his feet again and not want to wear a safer helmet. We'll see what happens with the Cowboys, who's going to get paid and when they get paid. And Melvin Gordon, is he going to sit out for the whole year? You know, like, my feeling right now with Melvin Gordon is that I think he is going to choose to sit out all year because he is going to be an unrestricted free agent next season. So he's not like Zeke, where he could end up losing money or get fined or whatever it is. But we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited.
I'm pretty hyped. I can't wait for you to draft Melvin Gordon with your first pick in fantasy.
I know. Someone's going to do it, though. But we'll see. That's this weekend.
It's not going to be me. I drafted Le'Veon last year, and it just ruined my whole season. Thanks, Le'Veon.
Yep. Well, this has been episode 16 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. Like we mentioned earlier at the top of the show, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod, and keep an eye out for those sticker updates. For Nick Rivera, I'm Mark Morales. Peace out.
Danny Dimes.